It don't matter what I try, I just can't win and I don't know why. There's a fork in every road, I pick the wrong one and then I go. American loser, yes I am, disenfranchised from everything. Well, I fall up and I fall down, an American loser the day I was born.
Welcome back to another episode of American Loser. Where are we, Dad?
We are in no other place other than the shared universe in Eatontown, New Jersey.
Exactly. Mike and Ming always taking great care of us. Behind the ones and twos, who else could it be?
Wow, it's been Kahuna.
Kahuna himself. Who's very happy. We just gave him his Christmas gift. He got, my mother is Armenian, and she makes paklava, and we just watched an addiction start for me here in front of us.
You really did. It's like if I don't get it next Christmas, I'm going to just turn into the Grinch.
The first one is always free, and that if we put the hook
I will
in
gladly pay.
Like,
you think I'm playing.
No, it's the truth on that one here. Now, we have a great guest with us today. I'm very excited. A good friend of mine, one of the funniest people I know, will not do stand-up. There are so many people that do stand-up that shouldn't do it. And then you, for some reason, will not. Alex Alvarez, how are you, pal?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Glad to be here.
That's a using my Christian name. All right.
Oh, sorry. That's a,
no, I'm you're using the old government name.
Yeah, we're in for a weird one today because the topic's really good. I like the topic we're going to talk about. I'm excited to have you on as a guest, buddy, because you've actually, as Kahuna was talking about us earlier, you've actually gone on the American Loser tour, have you not?
I have. I've planned my whole vacation around episodes of American Loser.
Well, just so if anybody's curious about stuff like that, because where'd you hit? You hit the Lizzie Borden house, right?
I hit the Lizzie Borden house. I did that November. And then this summer I went to, on my way to Gettysburg, I went to the Molly Maguire's prison in Jim Thorpe.
No shit, right? Yeah. I keep screwing up the name of the Schuylkill. Yeah. River or whatever it was, right?
Yeah. It might be Schuylkill.
Schuylkill, I think, is a little closer.
Yeah, I just can't say it for some reason.
I don't know. I was embarrassed to ask the locals.
It's not an easy word to get through either, man. But so the Molly Maguire's thing, that was pretty cool. You could see the handprint on the wall.
It's funny. The handprint, because the handprint, you can see the handprint, but they don't want you taking pictures of it. Most likely, I mean, if that thing can survive being dug out of a wall and plastered over and painted over, I don't think me taking pictures is going to do too much to it. I think they just want to sell you postcards.
There you go. See, available in the gift shop.
But you know, I'm willing. Whatever. I did buy two postcards, and I bought one for you, and I got one for Kahuna, but I forgot them, so I'm going to have to.
Oh, I see how it is.
I'm gonna have to bring them back.
Well, that was a cool thing, man. I got to check it out there. There was I think it's Machunk or whatever, right? That was another town over that way. So there's actually comedy gigs I have coming up that are going to be local to that. So I'm going to head over there and check that out if I can.
Oh, definitely.
But cool stuff, man. And Lizzie Borden house, my cousin Megan's jealous of you for getting to see that. That was pretty cool. And also, not for nothing, Gettysburg, Dan Sickles himself. So you're three for three, bud.
Yep.
It's not bad at all.
The like American Loser Tour, I like that.
There's money to be made, guys. Someone help us out here, you know?
Now, I guess with the American Loser Tour, though, the bus has to break down somewhere en route, right?
The bus is just the bus from the first Muppet movie. It just keeps breaking down every fucking 5 miles.
There you go. And catch fire.
That's we are in for a weird one today, though. We got a cool topic that I'm excited about. And let's just, I know it's an audio platform, but let's just be honest. I'm feeling terrible right now. I have no idea what happened to me. My stomach is like literally, I think, I don't think I have one anymore. I think it's gone. And I'm sitting here in a studio indoors in December wearing sunglasses because I don't know how, let's see. I think we'll get through this one, but I'm looking a little worse for the wear right now, Dad. It's not good. You know? I think I said maybe 5 words the entire ride down. It's an hour 15.
That would be a lot.
That's one thing I said. I did say I love you, and you left me. You didn't give me anything
I
back.
Did? Oh, well,
yep.
Sorry.
And I was like, okay, fine, Dad. That's
the way it is.
Now you picked this topic, right?
Yeah, I just came upon this in a stupid little publication that a friend of mine had lent me, and came to the realization that this guy greater research. It's truly a candidate for the American loser.
Oh, without a doubt. This guy, because there are some times when we do a show where it's just maybe we have to force the loserdom, if you will. But this guy, pretty open and shut case here. Yeah. So, Alvarez, what do you know about this guy off the top of your head? Which I'll just introduce the topic. It's President John Tyler.
Aside from being President Number 10 and some of the stuff that we discussed a while back, that he was that when after he retired, he became a he served in the Confederate Congress.
Yeah,
that's
You know, I'm almost mad you asked him first, because all I knew about this guy was that he was number 10, and I was so happy because he asked me about him, and I was like, he's President Number 10, and I remembered it, and I was so happy, and I thought, oh well, he's gonna ask Kahuna. And what do you know about President John Tyler? I'd just be like, he's number 10, and that's it.
Yeah, what makes that? That's
Kahuna went into deep thought on, you know, what do you know about John Tyler? And he was there, and his head down, and his head in his hands, and he came up with, I think he was number 10. Yeah, bingo.
That's weird. Not that one. What kept that nugget of information there?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
And just like that, I was uninvited.
You are gone.
Well, there's some interesting firsts with this guy. He's definitely like an asterisk of a president, if you will. He is the first president to get sworn in due to the incumbent's death, okay? Because let's see if you guys remember this one. So if John Tyler was number 10, Kahuna, who was president number 9?
Fuck.
No.
No, that's you're thinking, that's a German chancellor you're talking about.
Shit.
William Henry Harrison,
that's right, dude. Which we'll get into his story a little bit too. He's a loser in and of himself.
Yes.
So it's a double dose of loserdom today?
A little bit. There's plenty of losing going on, I'll put it that way.
One followed by another.
Well, this guy was interesting. He was born, first of all, March 29th, 1790. And there's almost this formula to build a founding father. This is President Number 10, but the first couple of, you know, there always seems to be these recurring themes. Number one, born on a plantation, okay, in Virginia, pretty, that is a bedrock of, you know, early presidents, to a relatively wealthy family, and then he went up studying law. So if you want to be president, you got to study law. That's kind of how it works. Mm. But other weird things I thought kind of needed to get mentioned. How old's Rutgers? Rutgers is one of the oldest schools in.
You're asking me tough questions. Now. Rutgers, how old is Rutgers? Old.
Rutgers was founded in 1766.
Right, I know
and
it predates.
It was called Queens College. It was called Rutgers in 1825.
Ah, no shit. All right.
Wow. Nice. There's another little nugget in there.
That's that I did not know.
Bank there.
Well, it's weird because our boy here, you know, not president yet, but John Tyler. He actually goes to William and Mary College in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Well, he's a Virginian through and through. No,
very much
no
so.
Doubt with that.
Yeah.
No doubt with that. And came from money, as you said, born on a plantation, came from money. Daddy was a governor of Virginia at one point, and he followed suit. But, yeah, he was born and bred. He was another – you started to mention firsts, but he was also the last – of the aristocratic Virginian presidents, if you will, that was.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah,
yeah, he was the last. I guess they got to him and decided, oh, that's enough out of Virginia.
Yeah, it's well, he certainly. First of all, the major footnote on this guy is that he's considered. We already covered another terrible president in Warren G. Harding, right? And we've talked about some of this is this guy blends into the. There's almost a cascade of shitty presidents around this time. And Tyler is pretty much – if you had to make a Mount Rushmore of un-Mount Rushmore, I think that's what we're dealing with here with Tyler.
Wouldn't
that just be like a graffiti painting?
Yeah. It's
there you go.
That's the thing, though, man. So Tyler, not a dumb guy, by the way. Pretty smart dude. But I did think there was all these other things kind of worth noting, I should say. He's the only president to be buried – without the American flag draping his coffin. You want to guess what flag is actually in this fella's coffin?
CSA flag?
Yep. He is still buried. An American president is buried wrapped up in the Confederate flag. Okay?
No shit.
Absolutely true story on that. Because his life happens in chapters, which I thought was cool because he decides from the very beginning. It's almost like he knew what he was going to do. Because he got into politics, what, at age 21, Dad?
Early on, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he got his law degree at age 21.
That just blew. I mean, I still haven't done shit. I'm 30. What am I? No, 32. Okay.
It's hard doing the math, Kev.
Yeah,
know.
I got one more year till I hit Belushi's age. So.
1 + 1 = 2, Kev.
For now. But this guy, he is considered to be one of the worst presidents. However, he's also got this, like, a couple pretty, you know, insane accomplishments. This guy's the reason we have Texas, and he's also the reason we have Florida in the United States. So Florida man is all thanks to Mr. John Tyler.
But, so wait, he gave us Texas barbecue, and then he gave us fucking Florida?
Yep.
God's waiting sandwiches. Room.
Who said God's waiting room?
God's waiting room.
And Alvarez said it too, Cuban sandwiches. Oh,
there you go.
The best. But he also gave himself his own nickname. This is true. This is 100% true. His plantation, his property, he referred to it as Sherwood Forest, because he thought of himself as the Robin Hood of American politics. Yeah. No, you don't give yourself your own nickname. That never works out, you know?
He gave him... He's like, that much of a loser?
Oh, yeah. I tried. I remember somebody telling me... I tried making up my own nickname once. I called myself Nails. Yeah.
Nails?
I was like, Nails. That's what they call me, Nails.
We had one.
You're the Blues Brother that got written out.
In high school with, and I'm not going to say his name, obviously, but, like, on his like, Facebook page or whatever, it was like, yeah, my friends call me Phoenix. I'm like, literally no one has ever called you Phoenix, and no one ever will call you Phoenix.
They call me Phoenix on account of the school I graduated from. I went to school online. But now, another thing with that bedrock principle of the Virginia guys, these dudes are all real big on states, right? We always talk about that, too, with Robert E. Lee, that he turned down command of the U.S. Army in the Civil War because he couldn't go against Virginia. So this is before the highways were built. Everybody's kind of, you know, everybody he knew and loved and grew up with was all sitting there in Virginia. And there's a lot of Virginia pride with these guys, too. But back to the Robin Hood of politics. He is, when he was just 21 years old, he gets involved into the Virginia legislature. So he knows exactly what he wants to do. He's following in the footprints of guys like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. You know, it's Virginia's got some cool shit, man. They're
also Daddy Dearest, because...
Also Daddy, true.
Daddy Dearest was also in Virginia politics big time. So,
and like you said, they were both actually his governors.
Yep. Yeah.
So now politics at the time is interesting because it's not quite the same Republican, Democrat kind of a thing we're dealing with here. Alvarez, you want to guess what the two parties were at the time?
One would definitely have to have been the Whigs.
Hell yeah.
And then I think the other one. Well, the Republican, no, they're not the Republican Democrats anymore. That left, that was gone a lot earlier, I think.
Well, it's weird because you're right. And it's the reason why it's almost like a trick question, because Jefferson's party was the, what do they call themselves? The Democratic Republicans.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
So that was kind of essentially, that was what Jefferson wanted the party to be. But around this time frame, you have a force of, you know, human nature known as Andrew Jackson that's developing into these Jacksonian Democrats. Which
you
is
mean the
wild.
Human typhoon?
Yeah, dude, he was there. You can literally admire him while calling him a son of a bitch. That's just kind of what Andrew Jackson was, man. He was a wild dude. Completely changed the entire face of America, too. But he's an interesting guy because when he's president, Tyler and him are actually, you know, Tyler wants to work with him. He looks up to him. There's this idea of that the Jacksonian Democrats, that's kind of be in what Tyler's mind is going to be the route that he wants to go into. He's huge on states' rights. That's the whole big thing with them. However, the only problem is Andy Jackson likes to keep expanding the power of the federal government all the time. So the two of them are starting to butt heads here. He actually broke ties with Jackson himself because the two of them got into an argument and he couldn't support Jackson's decision. He wanted to send in the troops into South Carolina because South Carolina was trying to leave the nation. I found this out today. I did not know that it was a thing at all. But
getting an early jump on that boogaloo.
Yeah, that's... Well, it makes you realize the Civil War is just a sequel then, you know, because South Carolina, right. They are wild down there. I love South Carolina, man. But, it was interesting because that whole big government thing, it's going to be a problem here, but Tyler's actually serving in the House of Representatives, like we said, also as a governor of Virginia. He then gets run as a... I mean, what do you think is the right secession, Dad? What's the right, if you wanted to, if you had your eyes on the prize, you want to be the president of the United States one day, where would you start out?
Where would I start out? Well, you're going to start with local politics and grow from there. And he he did just that, but he also had a falling out, if you will, with Jackson, and he went from a Jacksonian Democrat, because he was originally admiring Jackson, then got mm-hmm. away from Jackson, and then there was a number of other Democrats who also disliked Jackson. I think it was Clay.
Henry Clay. Yes, sir.
And Henry Clay was a big, powerful guy within the camp that disliked Jackson's idea of politics. And he kind of... Tyler switches sides, and he becomes what this new party called the Whigs, which Clay was very much involved with, and they folded John Tyler into it.
Yeah, which it's weird, too, because he, quote, changes sides or whatever, but he doesn't change any of his opinions. He's just like, oh, I'm a Whig now, and then he just still does all the Jacksonian Democrat bullshit that he was doing the whole time, too.
Yeah, the common thread, I think, though, with John Tyler was this whole states' rights thing. That, you know,
absolutely.
He was very much a states' rights kind of a guy, and what was best for the Virginia was going to be good for him, never mind the rest of the nation. What was best for Virginia was going to be the best for the nation in his mind.
Mm-hmm. And he was a pretty well-respected guy, especially on the early on time frame. But the next logical move, I would say, he actually, as a part of the Whig Party now, gets run as the vice president because they're big on symbols. The Whig Party was they present their new candidate that they're going to be running against Martin Van Buren, who, by the way, I believe was Martin Van Buren. Dad had that quote about surely the good Lord did not intend for us to travel at such breakneck speeds. I think he was talking about like river ferries.
I think the railroad, maybe. Yeah, the railroad, because hell, I mean, the railroad could go maybe 30 miles an hour. And I mean, it was just
my God,
unimaginable.
That's all relative, I guess.
Yeah. Well, imagine Martin Van Buren now having to accept the fact that if you want to have a picture taken, you do it with your phone.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's got to fuck with you a little bit.
Yeah.
But
Martin Van Buren driving a Tesla.
Another Luception, another loser within a loser. But
once you point it out, it's just going to keep happening.
That is the name we're going to go with.
Loserception.
Yeah, Luception, I think.
So. That was an accident.
But well, you have to, man. That's why it's fun to do all this stuff, too, because somebody had to point out that the show feels like we're not a comic book like show or anything like that, but that shared universe is, you know, pun intended, that is what it all connects to. But... So they're going to run for he's going to be the vice president now for the Whig Party. And the guy they're going to stick him with is William Henry Harrison. LP, what do you know about him?
Well, William Henry Harrison, he was also part of the Whig Party. But, I mean, the big shots within the Whig Party was, again, Henry Clay and then guys like John C. Calhoun and Daniel Webster. So there were some pretty heavy hitters within this Whig Party. And they decide that they're going to put Tyler up as vice president. They fold Tyler into the Whig Party. So mm-hmm. he jumps from being a Democrat and jumps into this newly formed Whig Party.
In theory, too, by the way, William Henry Harrison, he was being run from Indiana, I believe is where he hailed from. And then so you can now combine. It's almost like even to this day, what you'll see is the president and the vice president, you want to make sure that they're both solid, you know what I mean, in terms of where they can start pulling people in from with their support.
Right, and for the people. So
yeah,
they're
now you got Virginia and Indiana. So right. Those two things, they're kind of going
They got
in
two
hand.
Demographics that are going for them. And William Henry Harrison was this big Indian war hero. He won this battle at Tippecanoe. And actually, the slogan, the campaign slogan for Harrison
mm-hmm. yeah.
was Tippecanoe. All right, so people are reminding about how we won the battle of Tippecanoe and Tyler too. So that was the big political slogan of the day.
It's good. It rhymes too, but there is like you almost want to hear like a whistle at the end, like I'm Tyler too. You know?
Yeah. No, and Tyler too. I think they're folding in well, and all the things that Tyler became noted for with states' rights and everything else. So, I mean, Harrison was. A big states' rights guy as well.
Well, and it wasn't hard to win an election against Martin Van Buren. Van Buren gets blamed for a lot of... He was not a bad guy, but he gets... There was the panic of, I believe it was 1837. Yeah, that was... it's this weird thing that happened where Martin Van Buren, you ever, like, I growing up, I had, you know, obviously my sister Carrie, and it was always a weird thing where I'd get away with something, then Carrie would get, you know, caught for it or something like that. You know, so I'd get out of jail free on that one, and that's unfortunately what happened to Martin Van Buren. It's you're only in trouble if you're the one sitting there holding the bag, you know what I mean? And poor Van Buren is literally getting stuck with all the bullshit that Andy Jackson did.
Right.
So all the stuff about fucking up the economy and overhauling the idea of a national banking system. Some pretty questionable moves with the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Some slightly questionable.
Yeah, the Indian Removal Act. But, yeah, it's wild that way.
Yeah, it was a bit of a schlep.
Schlep's a good word for that, too.
Yeah.
But, no, it was always... If you look back on it in history, Martin Van Buren gets blamed for all that shit, but he actually wasn't a bad president, but he was very unpopular. So, again, it just happened to be that when the shit hit the fan, he was the one sitting there holding the bag.
Yeah, and Andy Jackson had a huge popularity, if you will, but
oh, yeah.
He also managed to screw up a lot of things, and that's, I think, was the big split with the Whigs and the Democrats. It was Jacksonian banking institutions and everything else, and that's really what drove Tyler out of the Jacksonian Democrats. Is, you know, again, it came down to states' rights, that why should the central government or the federal government have the say over all these banking institutions and everything else, that, you know,
absolutely.
Andy Jackson, yeah, just went out and did it. Screw that shit. We're going to dissolve the federal bank.
There is an interesting, because in terms of being just a force of nature, too, Andy Jackson did a little bit of whatever the hell he wanted, a lot. So, yeah. Pretty.
I'm Andrew Jackson, and welcome to Jackass.
Oh man, I'd watch that in a heartbeat too. I really would. But
there's my pitch for the new Jackass movie, which they just announced, by the way.
I know it's a little sad when some of them are dead.
You mean one of them? Okay, yeah.
That's
yeah, that breaks my heart too.
But now you got William Henry Harrison, like you said, Dad. He's this famous Indian fighter. He's also an old man at this point.
Yeah, he's an old dude.
Yeah, and I believe upon entering the White House, spoiler alert, they win, okay? Mm-hmm. Van Buren goes down. So Tippecanoe and Tyler, too, that works out pretty good. Now, William Henry Harrison is going to enter the White House as the 9th president of the United States. He enters as the oldest president to ever be the incumbent, if you will.
And, at that point in time.
Oh, yeah. Which,
which to them, to those people of those times, that was the oldest.
Well, he was 68 years old. So anyone else we know that's 68 years old?
Yeah, that's old and tired, that's, man. He should be thinking about doing a podcast in his retirement. not running the presidency.
Well, William Henry Harrison is now finally the president of the United States for about a month. All right? That's... Literally, he makes it a month. Do you know what took him out, Alvers?
I remember he was doing his inaugural speech in the rain.
Also worth noting, longest inauguration speech of all time.
And
how long was it?
I believe hours.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So at this point, Dum Dum gets really, really sick, incurably sick, and he dies within 30 days of his inauguration. Mm-hmm.
I think it was pneumonia that took him out.
Yeah, it was pneumonia that took... Now, there's that weird, because I'd heard that story, too, that it was that they think that he got sick when he was out there speaking in the rain, but he wasn't really a healthy guy to begin with. Mm-hmm. They said his energy was through the roof, though. He could have been a really good president. He really could have. But, he shows up there. So that is the American loser for the shortest presidency of all time, when you don't even... Yeah, there's... I mean, a month is a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you really can't establish a legacy in a month.
Came and went.
Yeah,
right. Especially when you're for the better part,
right,
of
ladies.
For the better part of those 30 days, he's sick. So I mean, it's really not. He's not going to be driving any new initiatives to straighten the country out.
No, and he was still working too. But if you really think about it, from like let's say he gets sworn in, and then he dies about a month. So what's that? He has maybe 96 hours that he's actually able to do some shit around the White House.
Yeah. But
so, yeah, this is...
He had about enough time to change the drapes. That's about it.
That's right.
Well, this I thought was worth mentioning here, too, is that... So now he's dead. He dies at 68. And this is the first time... There's no precedent for this. This is the first time that a vice president is going to get sworn in as the new president. So you go right from number 9 to number 10, okay? And there's some questions about it because it's never been done before. So they look into the Constitution to see, all right, well, how's this actually going to work? It's just is he remaining, now we're talking about Tyler here. Does he remain the vice president but serves in a presidential capacity? Do we have to pay him as much as we were paying the president? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of weird shit.
A lot of questions. And again, this was the first that, the president had died in office. So now where do we go? So there was a lot of questions that were raised. Not only, like you say, Kev, the pay scale and everything else, but just exactly who? Well, it's going to be the vice president, but his become president wasn't an immediate kind of a thing. Like nowadays, it's within hours that the swearing in ceremony is taking place of the vice president. So, yeah, it was a lot of questions.
Well, it happens fast around here, man. It got it was interesting too. So you're going from the oldest president at age 68 who dies in office to now Tyler being, I believe he was one of the youngest presidents at that time too, right? Because he was what, 51? I want to say he was 51. Yeah. But this is kind of weird too. What do you think is the first thing that you do when, let's say, Alex Alvarez becomes the president of the United States?
Heaven help us.
I've seen you manage a waterfront at a Cub Scout camp. How bad can the presidency be?
Oh, well, Canada.
What's the first thing you would do, though? If you feel like, because we talked about it too. William Henry Harrison only had a month to put everything together. The only thing you really have time to do is fill your cabinet.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you definitely get the guys who are gonna back you up as your cabinet for sure.
Now here's what's interesting. He keeps Tyler now, who's now the president, keeps to a man everybody on the cabinet that was assembled by William Henry Harrison. It's kind of a cool thing, right?
Yeah.
Except that throughout the course of his presidency, the duration, if you will, I believe all but one person,
they bailed,
resigned on him,
we're out.
And completely like this guy sucks. So. Yeah, so kind of nice. So I'll sit there, I'll honor your memory and keep your cabinet members on board. And there's like, hey, it's not so bad. We get to keep our jobs. And how bad could this guy be? Well, legendary bad. So, other stuff that we should probably talk about, too. That actually, they still had to cater that a little bit for the swearing in of the new president. That was actually handled in the 25th Amendment. So that is still something that's being studied by...
That didn't really happen until much, much later. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, not for nothing, if you go through it in your head, because you have... Obviously, it happens again with Lincoln and Johnson, and then you have Johnson, LBJ, taking over for JFK.
Right.
Right? So that's the only other two times that's really happened. And then obviously the
When Nixon resigns.
Yeah, very interesting moment for all.
We got Spiro Agnew that is probably in a future podcast.
Spiro T. Agnew will be on there, but it was cool because Gerald Ford, actually, he took the presidency.
Oh, right, right. I'm sorry.
No, because remember, Spiro got the – he had to get gone pretty quick.
Yeah, so. Right. Greek and crazy.
Yeah, Paklava and Baklava. That's their move over there. But so I thought it was, just other stuff we got into. Because Tyler, there's so much happening with this guy so quickly. Technically, he's a Whig, like we said. Okay, technically, he's a Whig.
But, yeah, he was brought into office as a Whig.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the cabinet structure, whether that was William Henry Harrison's put together or whether it was Henry Clay's and some of the other power brokers of the Whig Party is also a questionable thing. But you're accurate in stating that, the cabinet that was assembled by Harrison, they're all jumping ship to the man except par with one, with the exemption of one. They weren't real happy with the way John Tyler kind of turned on what brought him into office.
Because like we said, he says he's a Whig on paper. He goes, hey, I'm a Whig now, guys. But when the Whig legislation is being brought up in front, he starts vetoing the shit out of it. So it's like, you're almost like a saboteur at that point. You know what I mean? It's what the hell? This guy's going to sit there. He's going to say he's on our team. But it's almost like... It's almost like Jacoby Ellsbury and the Yankees. All right, that Jacoby Ellsbury no one has hurt the New York Yankees. That's why, to me, Jacoby Ellsbury is the all-time greatest Boston Red Sox. No one has ever fucked the Yankees harder than that guy did on that contract.
Right, right.
Jed Blasio for the Red Wings.
That's
it's It's a sad, sad season.
Getting in here for hockey. But he's got a Red Wings jersey on, too, so you know it's legit. That's
And John Tyler, too, I think in his own self-image, I mean, he's naming his home, his estate, his plantation, Sherwood Forest, that he's putting himself out there as like he's going to be the political outlaw, that he's going to do whatever the hell is right in his mind.
This is the first time I've seen the word maverick used in terms of, because that was John McCain's whole thing, was that he was a maverick because, you know, you go against the party line sometimes. So, yep, John Tyler giving himself his own nickname. Now, he gets a really good nickname. We have to mention this.
Oh, yeah. The other Whigs or his detractors, if you will, now decide that his new nickname is...
His Accidency.
His Accidency.
No! Yeah,
that's pretty great, man.
When you really hate the presidency.
Yeah. It's
when you really hate the your current...
That sounds like something straight out of a Mel Brooks movie.
Essentially, that's... It almost feels like it is just a comp, because the nickname plays a couple. First of all, he ascends to the office by accident, so it's a truthful nickname. And then also, what a great little burn for you. You know what I mean? It's
yeah, I mean, his boss dies, so he becomes the head cheese by accident. So, I mean, it's a great nickname.
His Accidency.
People are mean about
that's
then.
What I'd call it, too. Yeah. If it was a Mel Brooks movie, His Accidency, the John Tyler story.
It would work. Man. If you could get Gene Wilder to play John Tyler, I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Oh, my God. That would have been amazing.
Well, whatever you're going to do, whatever you want to call him, His Accidency is technically the 10th president of the United States. Now, like we said, he's also vetoing everything back and forth. The Whig Party guys, they're getting pissed off at him. They've pretty much had enough. His entire cabinet has bailed on him. And the Whigs are actually... They're getting angry here. We covered the first... I'll throw it as a trivia question to Alvarez. Who's the first president to get impeached, bud?
Johnson.
Correct. Now, the first attempt at impeachment you found was our boy, His Accidency.
His Accidency, John Tyler. Yeah. That charges were put forth. That it wasn't passed. But the first one that was charged with impeachment was our own John Tyler.
Can we just refer to him moving forward as His Accidency?
His Accidency. Yeah.
It's a good nickname,
that's
man.
A great nickname. It's a great nickname.
Yeah, I second that.
Well, it makes me laugh, too, because the people that are coming after him, because, right, I mean, we're not it's a history podcast. That's the bottom line here. But the thing was is that with Johnson's impeachment, it was coming from both sides of the aisle that people wanted him out. Right? He wasn't making a whole lot of friends. And then you can also make the case for other times from it was the Republicans that took out Clinton back in the day. And then right now it's the House of Representatives is Democrat heavy and they're going after a Republican president. So it's you don't normally see your own party try to kick you out of the presidency.
Right.
So
the guys that put you there are now saying, oh, wait a minute, on second thought.
The Whigs were like, you have to be fucking kidding me. Yeah. But, yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's got to be wild times over there, because keep in mind the nation's changing. You have westward expansion. You have, because Andrew Jackson, that was big. It was like a frontiersman president. You know, so that whole thing, Texas.
Yeah, he was the first president of the common man, really, too, was with Jackson. So, I mean, and the zeitgeist of the day, too. I mean, things are heating up back and forth, north and south, east and west. That there's a overshadowing idea here or concept that is driving a lot of politics. You might call it states' rights, but it's slavery. You can call it states' rights, but... You know, to the Southern viewpoint, you're dealing states' rights with you're dealing with my property. My property happens to be another human being, but it's slavery.
Did you hear that Tyler was a slave owner?
Yes, he was.
I think he had 40 slaves? They said.
I believe that was the count.
Yeah, it's always weird too because there's so many. It was really one of the funniest sketches I had seen on I think it was Key and Peele that they did it where it was. They're, two very funny black comics, and they're taking the DNA tests for Ancestry.com.
Right.
And it's always come back. It's they'll sit there like, oh, but it turns out I'm actually related to a Scottish king or something like that. And anytime it came up to the two black guys, they're like, yep, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson. Yeah.
So Tyler now, this is true. there are still African Americans that can trace their lineage all the way back to Tyler. So, yep, that's when you find out that, you know, your great-great-great-great-great-grandson of a former president of the United States, that's kind of cool. And you find out it's like, oh, yeah, because he was cheating on his wife all the time with his property.
Right.
Yeah. Gets a little dark on that one, man.
That also can be attributed to the whole states' rights because the importation of slaves was outlawed. So the only way you could get more slaves is by people born in bondage that the mother's offspring was also to be in slavery. It's so weird, if you're going to, you know, expand the herd, you might be siring some of those yourself. So it was definitely an effed up time for sure.
And we always talk about it too, is that there's caveats to it where if someone's against slavery, you're like, oh, cool, that sounds like the logic. But then you hear there's actually more racist shit. Well, we just don't want more. I can't have more blacks in the country. So it's like, yeah, right. You have the right opinion and the wrong act, you know?
Right.
And on the other side of it, they'll say, well, I believe it's a states' rights issue and the government shouldn't be able to come in. Like if we – again, it's a bizarre thing to think of people as livestock, but that's what was going on.
That's what it was.
It is always wild though, man. But Tyler, they said, for the most part, was actually pretty good to the slaves that he had. So isn't that weird? Or, you know, again, it's a benevolent slave owner.
I'd slip your accidency at every opportunity I could.
accidency. Yeah. What were we saying now?
I was going to say, at least in relation to some other slave owners. I mean, when you hear some other stories off those plantations, I mean, it breaks your heart. I mean, it's brutal.
It's evil shit, man. People shouldn't own people. That's kind of what it always comes down to.
Yeah, not blowing any minds, but yeah, no, they really shouldn't.
No people owning.
We did say that he was cheating on his wife with the slaves, you know, but not for nothing. He's got a couple of – he's a busy man. How many kids did our boy, his accidency, have?
Well, I think that's another one of his high water marks, if you will, that I believe the count was at 17.
That's a lot of accidents.
Right there. You took the bait.
He's credited, I believe the count was 17 legitimate children.
Yes, over the course of two marriages, right?
Right, off the course of two marriages, yes. Yeah. He was high. The testosterone level, I think, was up. He had no problem with that.
He's manly men.
Yeah.
Men in tight tights.
And I think his youngest child was born when he was 70 years old, so.
70.
Jesus. All right, Keith Richards.
He had a long run.
I know it's only rock and roll, but I like it.
Yeah.
So not for nothing here, too. I do want to bounce a couple more things off you. Now, you found, I won't give it away just yet, but there's an incident about how he meets his second wife. Is that correct?
I think that was we're skipping over the first wife, who was this shy and retiring type person, really wasn't
Lucretia.
Letitia.
Oh, look, I
believe it was Letitia Tyler. She was also from money, from Virginia, actually only lived a few miles away from his boyhood home in Virginia. So, you know, he's marrying a local. Has a bunch of kids. I believe it was seven from the first wife, but she was really not the outgoing type person that the second wife proved to be. She definitely had some money, and then was never really the active hostess. That the women at the time, the wives were supposed to be the gracious hostess to their husbands, political aims or goals and type of thing. Even if he took the presidency following Harrison's death, it was several weeks until she finally joined up with him. But she was not a well woman in her later life; that she suffered a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So once he becomes president upon Harrison's death, the hostess duties are really given to her daughter-in-law, Priscilla. as far as household management and everything else, because she's pretty much incapacitated. I believe research that I found, she only was involved with one social gathering in the time that that Tyler was
old accidency, just keeping her busy and pregnant all the time.
There you go. I thought it was interesting too, is that she suffered a second stroke, which actually took her out. Mm-hmm. But they said that while she was in the White House and prior to her suffering this second stroke, there was a mob scene out in front of the White House, chanting and everything else. That it was, they were, the locals were not happy with President Tyler.
Oof.
And it was, you know, they think that that whole stress really led to her second stroke, that took her out, that she died from that second stroke. But old accidency there. He was a frisky type that, lo and behold, it comes on to the social scene in a winter of 1844, maybe. This young hottie from New York, who's also from oodles of money, shows up onto the scene. Miss Julia, she shows up, and she's the...
What's her last name, by the way? This is important.
Gardner.
Yep.
Julia Gardner. Now, Daddy Gardner is definitely got money. They own a little island off the very tip of Long Island, Gardner Island, that is probably the second largest privately owned island in all of the United States. The only one that's a little bit bigger is a little further north, and that's owned by the Forbes family. So there was some
Forbes.
That,
Forbes, hang on.
Yeah, Forbes. You've heard of that?
Yes, one of the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds familiar.
Is there a list of some sort?
And she's good looking too, and she's coming from buckets and buckets of money.
Right, right.
You know, when you own your own island, that's kind of it.
That's how you know.
Yeah. Now, at the time that Miss Julia Gardner shows up on the Washington scene, she's like 30 years younger than John.
And she's just checking all the boxes.
Yeah,
huh?
she's definitely making a hit around the Washington scene. There's a lot of people that are interested in sparking this one for sure.
Yeah, you stay away from Francis Scott Key's son, you hear me?
But she's pretty much the polar opposite of his first wife, though. She's this good-looking, outgoing, very gal about town type of a thing, and actually she comes to the social scene in Washington I think it was a year or so prior to that. She made the headlines, if you will, because she posed for this lithograph advertising some dry goods store in Manhattan, and this was certainly not what was to be done by young ladies of high social standing to be posing in advertisements. Although her name never appeared in the lithograph as this advertisement, there was a rose embellished somewhere within this lithograph, and she was, her nickname was the Rose of Long Island type of a thing. So people quickly realized who it was, and you know that, you know, for a young lady to be in the advertising game.
Or, okay, President Tyler, tell you why she's got nice ankles.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. But mom and dad Gardner did not take kindly to her posing for this lithograph that was, you know, be publicized to the common man, if you will. And they scoop her up with her sister and take them off to Europe to try to get her away from the headlines type of thing, only to come back to Washington, D.C. social scene about a year later. And she was definitely being attempted to be sparked by a lot of heavy hitters in the Washington scene. John Tyler's own sons were very much interested.
No
in
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is getting very Pornhub-y here, isn't it?
There you go.
Oh, good God.
Oh, but she's invited to a masquerade party at the White House, and John Tyler, the first time he proposed marriage to her, he was snubbed. She said no. But the first time that John Tyler proposed marriage to her was only 5 months after the first wife died. So, I mean, it's only 5 months in mourning, and, well, maybe it's time to go after this young hottie.
Why do they call you his accidency?
Yeah. She snubs him the first time he proposes marriage, but then there's an incident, and we do have a somewhat of a Jersey connection here.
Here it comes.
That there's this new naval ship, the Princeton.
Indeed.
And they have this, I guess it's a publicity kind of a thing, that a lot of the higher-ups and the big shots of Washington are put on board the Princeton, and they're going up and down the river.
It's like a wet down when a fire department gets a new truck.
There you go. And they're showing off this new naval ship, and this thing has got these huge cannons on there that they're firing off to be shock and awe kind of a thing, that this one particular cannon on board is called the Peacemaker. That they think that this gun is so awesome that nobody would dare, I guess, and just, you know, make the peace quickly. Well, anyhow, they fire off on the third volley. This thing explodes, kills her dad, kills Julia Gardner's dad, and she is fainted away. Now, President Tyler is on board along with the Secretary of the Navy, and I mean, there's a lot of heavy hitters aboard this thing. Papa Gardner is killed, and then President Tyler picks up young Julia, sweeps her up in her arms, and carries her off the ship to medical aid type of a thing, and then nurses her and comforts and consoles her on her father's death from this explosion, and she eventually says yes
and
to.
It's a lot like that. It's like that story with the where the Swedish Navy had. You know, they did a. I think it was back in the 17th century. They had they built this massive like man of war. It was like 40 guns or whatever. And then on like the maiden voyage, it's so top heavy that it just fell and capsized. Due to a squall that hit it.
Oh shit!
I'm like, if you ever branch out into European loser, in this case, the entire Swedish Navy.
Not a good maiden
Swedish
voyage.
Navy too. You know what they sound like on board, right? We did it just to get Kahuna Beezy.
This spot's for you, Gohan.
I knew it was coming. Once I heard Swedish, I was like, wait.
Half the battle, man.
The Coastal Rangers are tough now, but they had to get there.
Jesus. So the gun blows up. He runs off with the. He's got his chick.
Scoops her up in her arms, runs off, and and then consoles consoles her on her father's death and everything else. The love boat connection, if you will, here with this is that the only thing that survives from that USS ship Princeton is the bell that was on board the ship. And that bell is now in front of Borough Hall in Princeton, New Jersey. So love memento.
Here's the whole thing. His life, there's so many firsts with Tyler's life and everything like that. Very, very interesting guy. Again, what do you have? 17 kids?
I think that was the count.
Yeah, total count. And that's the ones that he's allowed to know about, the legitimate kids.
What he's got back home on the plantation to increase the slave population is still under debate, I guess. But, he ends up marrying her. It's another first because it's the first wedding that was held within the mm-hmm. White House. The wedding itself takes place in New York City, and the family, the Gardners, were really calling it an elopement because there was only 12 people present at the wedding.
Oh, shit. Old accident.
Yeah, old accident. We make this a quickie wedding kind of a thing. Now, the family is saying, well, that's because, Papa Gardner just recently died. So the rest of the family is in mourning, and it really, you know, the social eons of the day would frown upon having a wedding that close to her father's death. But it is what it is. They go on this magical ferry boat ride around Manhattan. naval gunships are firing off salutes to the new first lady and the president. They get off. They get off the ferry. They disembark the ferry at another Jersey connection, Jersey City, New Jersey.
Jesus.
And take the train. Take the train to Philadelphia and eventually back to Washington, D.C., where she sets up shop as the first lady. Now, this is, as I say, the extreme opposite of the first lady, that she is the social hit parade. And she realizes that she's only got like 8 months or so left in Harrison's presidency. In Tyler's presidency. So she's,
again, you're still not wrong either. Yeah. It is Harrison's presidency filled by Tyler.
Seven more months.
That's
she's making the most of her time as the first lady, if you will. And she's got a lot of firsts herself. That she's credited with the first to make sure that as the president enters a room, that the Marine band plays Hail to the Chief.
No shit.
That was later adopted by Polk's wife. So that tradition really started with John Tyler's wife, Julia. Hail to the Chief. She is also very much outspoken in her political interests. And they say that she was, you know, twisting arms and having conversations with people with this whole annexation of Texas, which again goes back to the hot topic of the day, which is slavery and the expansion of slavery, because Texas would come in as a slave state. Even in Tyler's time, he was actually against the Missouri Compromise, because Missouri came in as a slave state, but the compromise was that Maine would come in as a free state. And he was against that whole thing. That he, you know, Tyler's opinion was that the individual states should decide whether it's going to be.
Yeah, he was not big on a federal government.
Not on federal government. Yeah. Right.
Which is hilarious, because that's almost what you want, is a guy who's the head of the federal government, you know, the executive branch of the federal government, to not think he should have a whole lot of power.
Right.
That was the thing. So there's some weird stuff that's admirable here with him. The slavery stuff, like you're saying, is completely, that's just wacky to begin with. Because keep in mind, this is when Texas is its own nation right now. The Republic of Texas is just kind of chilling out there.
That's in dispute, because it's the Republic of Texas with the annexation of Texas. That was another hot topic, because is that going to upset the balance between free and slave states as far as the votes held in Congress? Because you're only getting senators to decide stuff in that house. But Texas, we have the Republic of Texas, which wasn't formally recognized by the Republic of Mexico, who they stole it from, and where exactly are the borders? So that, you know, there's a lot of things. And then Texas wants to come into the United States, but the vast majority of the Texans at that time wanted to come in as a slave state.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's so funny, we covered it in another episode, but it was for the homesteaders, so that Mexico they needed people to be out there. We talked about it for the War with Mexico episode, that they said, hey guys, if you Americans want to come out here, you want to, you know, hang out in Texas, all we ask that you do is, it's going to be, you know, it's Catholic out here, okay, we're religious that way, and we're against slavery, so... then what do? They come out there, they do not convert to Catholicism, and they wind up taking the nation over, and they pretty much did it so that they could bring in slavery.
So we can be Anglicans and bring slaves. Got it.
We're going to make the rules.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. this is mine now.
What?
Well, not for nothing, too, is that, let's see, in 1845... is when Tyler's going to officially begin the process of annexing Texas as the 29th state. So it gets carried out by Polk. Is that right, Dad?
Yeah, that, again, to Tyler's credit, on his last day of office, well, Tyler goes through this secret negotiation. He becomes known also not only as his accidency, but also the man without a party.
And you want to talk about a guy with nicknames?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a bunch of them because nobody is really supporting this guy other than himself. The Whigs hate him.
The president without a party.
The Democrats hate him. The Republicans hate him. Well, actually, the Republicans haven't come in just yet. But he is so instrumental in a lot of shit that's going to happen in a very few short years after his presidency that it's craziness. He's unaligned with any political party. There's a big back and forth within Congress as to whether we're going to let Texas come in or not. Well, are we actually going to annex Texas? This whole thing leads to Martin Van Buren's nomination as their party. He doesn't win the nomination of his own party that James K. Polk does. But before Polk takes office, through negotiations back and forth with the Republic of Texas, with Sam Houston and his crowd, Tyler has these secret negotiations going back and forth that he signs on the last day the bill that allows Texas to be coming into the Congress. And it really wasn't until Polk's administration when the thing was finally served, but it was through all these secret negotiations that Tyler had with Texas. And then, of course, that leads to hard feelings with the Mexican government because they never said, hey, wait a minute, we never really recognized you guys. And where exactly the borders are leads down the road with Polk's administration, the war with Mexico. So it's craziness all over the place.
He really is an agent of chaos, if you think about it.
Yeah, he really is. He really
he's like
is.
A Lovecraft character. He's got a million Ooh. Nicknames. He's got a million nicknames and causes nothing but chaos. In your Nyarlathotep.
Well, you want to, the definition of chaos, by the way, to me is my second home, the state of Florida, which on his final day in office as president, President Tyler makes Florida the 27th state. Yeah. So, anytime you hear something good about bath salts or you know. An alligator and a you know coming out of a pool and coming and eating somebody. It's usually in Florida, and we owe it all to President John Tyler. Yeah. So now, not for nothing here, he finishes up his term. They were not successful in trying to impeach him, but literally everybody's just he's a pariah. Nobody wants to deal with this guy at all. It's Alex, you and I worked together on camp staff over Camp Lewis, yeah. And if there was ever somebody that just we couldn't quite get along with, you kind of just ice them out and they just go, all right, so I guess I'm not coming back next year, guys. And they just kind of carry it. Yeah. Like, we made that decision for you. Yeah. So
we're going to have to put up with you until the end of the contract period, but after that, you're done.
Yeah, after that, pack your stuff, don't come back.
That's right.
It was half the battle on that one, man. But so he leaves. He steps out of the office now. Screw you guys, I'm going home. And he departs the White House, goes down to Old Sherwood Forest, which is his 1,200-acre plantation, like we talked about. And
with his wife.
Yeah, with his wife.
With his wife.
Yeah, with his young
wife. Now, she's 22 when they get married. He's 52, so he's 30 years senior to her. But, you know, he's still going strong.
How's that math work out? Does 52 goes into 25?
Yeah. No, don't hate the play. Hate the game.
But, he gets back down there. He's hanging out in Sherwood Forest here. Now, the nation, as we talked about, Dad, a lot of shit going on here. There's perhaps a war between the states that's brewing over that same issue of slavery you discussed?
Absolutely, absolutely. And now we've got Texas in there with the emancipation of the slaves in Texas. And we're not he outmaneuvered those diplomatic efforts. Actually, the British government was involved with that because the Mexicans and the Texans were going to, you know, hammer that out. But old John Tyler steps in and outmaneuvers them that whole thing by making his own secret negotiations. It was just craziness from start to finish with all of these different things that he's gotten. And on his last day of office, he also signs Florida into statehood.
Mm-hmm. So we said that one, yeah.
Yeah, so we got Florida, we got Texas. Both happened to be slave
ended
states.
The Seminole Indian War.
Ended the Seminole Indian War. Yeah, he was Alvarez was born. He was craziness.
No shit, really?
Yeah, was born in Miami. Don't get me wrong, I'm unapologetically a Jersey kid, but I was born and very temporarily occupied in, you know, Miami. Well, Key Biscayne specifically.
Jesus, you are so Cuban. but, well, not for nothing, because this is where there's a footnote with the history part here. And then there's also, you can't tell this part of the story without making you go back and think again about, this is a former United States president, okay? The 10th president in the nation's history.
Right.
And he decides he's going to get back involved with political office again, right?
Well, there was a little incident that happened, you know, before that.
Hit me.
The start of the Civil War. You know. Yeah, and he...
Just a little incident.
Yeah.
A kerfuffle.
So he's out of office. He's back home in old Virginia, the mm-hmm. old Dominion. He's back in his home plantation of Sherwood Forest. Things continue to heat up. There's an election year of 1860. Politically, the nation is divided not just two ways, but probably four ways, because there's four different presidential candidates in the election of 1860.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats are split between Northern Democrats and Southern Democrats. There's a guy out in Illinois by the name of Lincoln who runs as this newly formed Republican Party, trying to bring about, and he's very outspoken about anti-slavery right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
The two biggest contenders are Douglas and Lincoln, but Lincoln makes it crystal clear to everybody that he's anti-slavery, and Douglas is not really stating his case. He's kind of trying to play both sides, and it's not working out because, again, the political parties are so divided that Lincoln is elected in November of 1860 with 40% of the popular vote. But because he carries the North with so many of the electoral votes, that he becomes president.
And so he had Illinois, and then he had Hamlin as his vice president, who brought in the votes from Maine.
Right. So, you know, their political maneuvering wins out. So now with the election results in the South is really pissed off because they see this as the end of their way of life type of a thing. And but I believe by January of 1861, there's seven states have already left the Union. The very southern part of the United States, all those guys are out. Lincoln's in. Then we're out.
Oh, yeah, that's your marching orders, man. We're gonna
form our own, yeah.
So.
Yeah, we had our election. We lost, but F this stuff. We're out of here because we're going to form our own country.
And as we've covered before, too, they literally do start forming their own country. They have a government. They have a president, you know, Jefferson Davis, all that other wild stuff. Now, not for nothing, his accidency himself decides he's going to get involved in government, but it's almost like I don't want to say Darth Vader. But that's what I was trying to do earlier. But he does make that flip, and he winds up serving as a member of the Confederate House of Representatives, representing Virginia. This reminds me of...
You're supposed to destroy the Sith, not join them!
Well, to me, it reminds me of... remember when Sergeant Slaughter became an Iraqi sympathizer?
Total heel turn.
Yeah, they made him the actual badass military guy. They made him betray America, and then Hulk Hogan had to fix him.
with iron shakes.
After Lincoln's election, though, he still hasn't been inaugurated yet, because that didn't happen until much later, in early 61. Nobody fired a shot yet. I mean, there was seven different Confederate states that left the Union, but nobody really knew how to deal with this. Lincoln is elected in the election of November of 1860, and he just kind of doesn't make any kind of speeches or address what his policies are going to be, even after these states leave the Union, because he's thinking that whatever I say is only going to be adding fuel to the fire, that things perhaps can be patched up or brought back together. And John Tyler steps in once again and tries to hold this peace conference of 1861. Now, again, No, Fort Sumter hasn't happened yet. The first shots of the Civil War haven't happened yet. So he calls for this peace conference, that if we can send representatives from all the states, and we're going to meet in Washington, we're going to meet at the Willard Hotel, which is like the hotel in the entire nation, the nicest, most prestigious hotel you could possibly meet in is the Willard in Washington. At the time, there were more backroom dealings going on in the Willard Hotel than there were in Congress, that all the heavy hitters are meeting and greeting there. So they're going to have this big conference or this big convention.
Smoke-filled room.
Yeah, not all the states send their representatives. But this was like the last-ditch attempt that maybe we can resolve this thing peacefully and not come to a shooting war. You know, seven states have already left the Union.
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah, but, you know, it's viewed like, no. Listen, we had the election. It was clearly Lincoln won. And, you know, we're not going to continue on with this whole slavery kind of issue. And they're like, well, wait a minute. Maybe we can make a compromise here somewhere, you know, that we can come together with this peace conference of 1861. It fails. A lot of the states didn't even bother sending representatives. The ones that left the Union already didn't bother sending representatives. And it was pretty much just it was seen as a last-ditch attempt by the Confederates to settle this thing peacefully before it comes to a shooting war. I found it interesting, too, that in the middle of this conference, Lincoln is on his way to his inaugural. Lincoln has not yet been inaugurated. And I think 3 days before his inauguration, he shows up at the Willard Hotel where they're having this big peace conference. And when it's announced or comes to be known that Lincoln is in the hotel, the Virginia delegation to this peace conference, the one guy jumps up and says, how did he get through Baltimore? And if you remember from one of our previous episodes, there was speculation that there was going to be an assassination attempt of Lincoln as he went through Baltimore, because he had to change trains and everything else. So Lincoln comes into Washington secretively at night on a special train that he avoided the whole assassination attempt. So that just led greater credence to the idea that he was going to be assassinated.
Yeah, the South arranges a little accident.
And these Virginia delegates are all in on it, kind of a thing. That anyhow, they meet with Lincoln in his private parlor within the hotel. He's not president yet, but they come to the realization, hey, this isn't going anywhere. We're not going to get a compromise. This guy is definitely
real stick in the mud.
Right. He won the election and he wants it his way. I mean, go figure, you know.
We're going to form our own government. We're going to have hookers and beer.
There you go.
No, I'd scratch that. It's just going to be hookers. Yeah.
No Lincolns allowed. They have like a little stovepipe hat.
With the cross going through it.
No one sees the president. Not no way, not no how.
There you go.
Not for another. I do want to finish up here because we're over our time.
Well, how unusual.
Exactly. And it is a Saturday, and Alex Alvarez does have some stuff he has to handle. All right, big important day for our friend in the banking industry, Alex Alvarez. But we do have to hit this. So that conference that you talked about, Dad, that winds up failing to meet its objective.
Right.
And literally the war breaks out, what, later that same year?
So, yeah. April.
Yeah. So
they're meeting like from January to February kind of a thing. And in April, the Confederate forces fire on Fort Sumter, and that's it.
And again, because he's got loyalty to Virginia first, he is serving as a representative in the Confederate House of Representatives, representing his home state of Virginia. Okay. So, dude, it kind of just blows my mind. That's a former U.S. president is now a part of the government that is being usurpacious. Is that use that word right? I think I did.
I don't know. I have to look that one up.
That's definitely – you definitely went for the top shelf.
Hell yeah, buddy. But, yeah, so this guy – but also, not for nothing – when he dies, like we said, he gets his casket is draped. He's buried with the Confederate flag, and it's important too because he dies at age 71. Now, this is part where you and I were going over this for the dates, if you will. Tyler died at age 71 on January 18th, 1862, in Richmond, which is what? The capital of the Confederacy.
African Confederacy.
Okay. Now, he dies in 1862, so guess who's president of the United States when John Tyler dies?
Abraham Lincoln.
Exactly. So now there's always this thing, it's a big deal whenever you see a president pass away or whatever, and it's always kind of cool to see, you know, everybody get together. It is always weird to see the Clintons and the Bushes, you know, and the Trumps all sitting next to the Obamas, everybody all hanging out together, like, you know, whenever somebody passes away, like they were all there for John McCain's funeral. Right. So there was a lot of the, despite the fact that, you know, those are Democrats and, you know, Republicans and, you know, bitter, bitter rivals for the most part, but they do come together as a common courtesy that they're putting out here. When John Tyler dies, a former president of the United States, number 10, all right, Abe Lincoln just goes, oh, what? I'm sorry, did you say something?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, no, totally sad.
He doesn't, they won't even acknowledge it. That is the only time that a president has ever passed away and the current president has not acknowledged that it happened because they thought that he was a traitor, all right? First of all, he's not a popular guy. Not a popular guy. And then the way that he kind of alienates literally everybody and just, I'm the Robin Hood of Sherwood Forest.
That's right.
You know, he's kind of
yes, Your Excellency.
Your Excellency.
So,
hey, talking about the Confederate flag, too, I found a little interesting side point, and I'll be quick. But Julia Tyler, all right, the second wife, they're back in Sherwood Forest before the Civil War starts. Once the Civil War starts, she's like in harm's way, if you will. So she wants to come back to Mommy's house in Long Island. Now, she was born in New York and wants to come back to Mommy's house. It's not Daddy's house because Daddy died on the explosion aboard the ship, right? They won't allow her to go north to Long Island without swearing an oath of allegiance to the Union prior. Mm-hmm. So she does an end around and goes to one of the Caribbean islands and then sneaks into Long Island in a backdoor kind of a situation.
There's now, parts of Long Island that is probably still in the Confederacy.
Well, that's where I'm going with this because she sneaks back to Mommy's house with the kids. And so she's in the same house with Mom and raises a Confederate flag. During the Civil War, raises a Confederate flag on Mom's house, and Union veterans from the war threaten to burn the house down if they don't, you know, they don't lower the flag, kind of a thing. So here she is,
boy.
It's stick in the eye for the Northerners of Long Island that flying the Confederate flag. So yeah. she had some grit.
Holy shit! Yeah. Well, now. Tyler's dead, okay, died at 71, like we said, and he's, thought this was worth noting, too. He's buried in Richmond, like we said, which is the capital of the Confederacy still at this time. He's buried in Hollywood Cemetery, which is also the resting place of James Monroe, America's fifth president, and Jefferson Davis would also wind up being buried there, the president of the Confederacy. Yeah. So that is a Confederate president and an American president and then a American president who served for the Confederacy. Like, there's a lot of people in that cemetery, bud.
Esteemed company.
Yeah, it's about as weird as it gets on that one. Now, like we said, just the idea that there's an American president, it's almost like, I don't know, it would be like Derek Jeter being buried in a Red Sox hat. You know what I mean? Oh, it just doesn't feel good. It doesn't sit. Yeah, it's... But we're going to wrap this one up. Alvarez, you have anything for us, pal?
No, not really.
I hear you. We're going to bring you in for another one, too, when you get a little bit more advanced notice and everything like that. But it was great to see you, buddy. I do maintain you're one of the funniest people I ever met, and I wish you would try stand-up, and I wish Ken Kranz would quit. But that being said...
I don't know about Ken Kranz, but we'll discuss that at some point.
No, Ken's a great guy. I love him very much, but he's so much fun to rip on.
Oh, I wasn't talking shit. I mean, yeah, the first thing...
Well, I'll tell you what, dude. Thank you for coming in on this one. I'm happy to have you here. But Kahuna, you got anything for us, buddy? How's your song doing?
Doing actually pretty well. It's my second most popular one on Spotify now. which I think was pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
View-wise on YouTube, it could use a little bit of work.
If you want to help out the Kahuna, go ahead and take a look. It's Where Are You Santa Claus, right?
Yeah, on Hell Arcade yeah, Productions YouTube channel. Thank Definitely. You for the listen. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course, man. Come on. You do good stuff. And then LP, got anything else for us to wrap it up before we get out of here?
Yeah, just a couple of positives on John Tyler. He signed the Preemption Act, which helped spur Western settlement, allowing people to buy 160 acres of public land. Of course, that also helped out the finances of the government type of thing.
But shit.
That was giving the common guy an opportunity. He's also credited with ending the Seminole War in Florida. Now, I don't know whether that was – I guess that's the third Seminole War, because we were always at odds with the Seminoles, and that goes back to our podcast with Osceola and everything else. But
yep, Gators versus FSU.
He finally ended that, but that could have been because they were – going to throw the people out of their homelands. But anyhow, that's another thing. He also settled a dispute between U.S. and British North American colonies, namely the boundary between Maine and Canada, because that was often in dispute. So he did have some things. And it was also a Webster-Ashburton Treaty, which was basically trading rights with China, giving American access to some Asian ports. So he did have some positive things, but he was definitely his own man, and states' rights was his slogan throughout all of his political career.
He was consistent. It was not good, but it was consistent.
Yeah, he was the Robin Hood of politicos. He was
you never want to be wishy-washy.
Yeah.
I do, man. Every time we're calling him the Robin Hood of politics, I just always picture that it's a like C-SPAN, and he's got he's just sitting there with green tights on.
Men in tights?
Yeah.
Or people just call him that really sarcastically, oh, here comes Robin Hood. That's his accident. His accident, say Robin Hood.
He's a real Errol Flynn, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no.
But, no, this was a fun one, because this is such a weird footnote in American history. Nobody knows anything about this guy. I learned a lot coming in on this one. I'm not going to lie. LP, I'm very impressed with you, sir.
Because I am.
You did a really good job on this one.
Oh, thanks.
I'm under the weather. I'm not
feeling great. I can
rustle
some more papers for you.
There's a pile of papers for you to rustle, too.
You know it. But this was a good one, man. Alex, very happy to have you here, pal. It's great to reconnect with you after all these years.
You run out of here dying.
No, I've been fighting.
You made it through.
Now, because we're going to wrap it up, and then I can go into the bathroom and potentially pass away. So we'll see what happens. But Kahuna, Merry Christmas to you, my friend. All right, I don't think we're going to see you before that. Alex, Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming on to the show here. If you guys do not celebrate Christmas out there, get on the fucking bandwagon, okay?
Listen to my freaking Christmas music, okay?
But LP, do you have anything else?
Just Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah,
gonna be a good one.
Happy Kwanzaa. I think Hanukkah starts on the 21st, yes?
That's I'm not familiar. What is Hanukkah?
I don't even know what today is. I don't even know.
But, if it started, dope. If not, nah.
Well, you guys still got a couple more days to celebrate on that one. So
also true. But was there anything else, guys? I think we're out of here then. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. We have a lot of fun doing it. Check us out as American Loser Podcast on Instagram. You can check me out at KP Mark Sucks on Twitter and Instagram. And we're having a lot of fun with this, guys. We want to keep it going. And the support from you guys and those written reviews, they really do mean a lot. So thank you so much for that. We don't want to charge you guys for the show, okay? And that's, you leave us a written review, that guarantees we don't have to do it. Keep your ears peeled. We got some really cool shit we're working on. But guys, my name was KP Burke, and that was His Accidency, President John Tyler.
An American loser the day I was born. An American loser the day I was born. American loser the day I was born.